Good afternoon, good day. Welcome, little children. It's July 13th, 2023. The time is 15:52 Eastern Daylight Time. That's 15:52 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green, that's me with you again. I'm taking antibiotics starting today to find out if we can solve the problem that I have, because we believe it's an infection, so we're going to see fairly soon whether it is or not in the next couple of days, I guess. Carl Jung said, he's a Swiss psychiatrist who died in 1961. He said, life really does begin at 40. Up until then, you were just doing research. Certainly, that's an interesting viewpoint. Is it not? Now, some of us do research longer than that, I think, before they really begin or embark on their true calling in life. The Chinese philosopher Mencius said, the way is near, but men seek it afar. It is in easy things, but men seek for it in difficult things. How true that is. Mark Twain said, of all the animals, man is the only one that is cruel. He is the only one that inflicts pain for the pleasure of doing it. Well, hopefully not all of mankind is cruel.
He is the only.
And also, we've got a song today from the Bee Gees from 1977, I believe. Is that right? Yes, 1977, but released in 77, very late in the year, December 15th in that year. So the chart is from 1978. It was number one on 11 charts around the world, which is a pretty phenomenal hit. It was, one of those charts was in Canada, and two of them were in the U.S. Right, as far as the number one. 11 number one chart positions around the world in 1978 for this song by the Bee Gees. And where does it say? Let me just check the Netherlands for 1 minute. One chart in the Netherlands, it was number one also. So this is the song Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees from 1977, 78.
Oh,
Well, Barry Gibb is the only surviving member of the Bee Gees at the moment. His two brothers both passed away. Maurice at the age of 53 and Robin at the age of 62. But Maurice, when the age of 53, that's the same age that John Denver was when he passed away also. Unfortunate that they died as young as they did. Wouldn't you say, little children? So now for today's study in the Born and Raised. Excuse me. In the Born and Raised article, chapter 1, paragraph 12. The Jews are not less interested than others in events that led up to the destruction of their second temple, which was the event, you know, the destruction was in 70 CE, by the way, beginning with a siege that commenced on April 14, 70 CE, this coinciding with Nisan 14 in that year. April 14 was Nisan 14 in that year. That's from PLSV 3.1.0, which is Planetary Lunar and Stellar Visibility, the Windows program, and from Rita Gauci also, using Alexandria and Babylon for the new moons, both of which would be close enough to Jerusalem, to agree with the date Nisan 14 offered by Josephus. So even Josephus agreed. He was a first century Jewish historian. 40 years before this would have been close to Nisan 14 of the year 30 CE, a year which secular history has assigned as within the governorship of Pontius Pilate, who served from 26 CE to 36 CE under Tiberius Caesar. So 30 CE falls in the middle of that period, roughly, from 26 CE to 36 CE. So was there a significant event that occurred during those days when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea? If so, is it possible that it can also account for the 40 years prior to 70 CE that perplexed temple priests, hindering their sacrifices through the lot for Azazel? We've talked about that earlier in this article, how the lot for Azazel kept coming up for Azazel rather than for Jehovah. The once per year lot that was taken, which chose between Azazel and Jehovah, it kept coming up for Azazel, so there were no sacrifices for Jehovah during those 40 years. The prophecy of Daniel 9:27 had foretold a quote-unquote week, referring to a period of 7 years in prophecy, when Jewish sacrifice and gift offering would be concluded. This week would be after 69 quote-unquote weeks of 7 years, or 483 years, and would end after 490 years, or 70 weeks. So there's a 7 year period there within which this Jewish sacrifice and gift offering would cease, the total period being 70 weeks in all. So far, all we have is the one date, Nisan 14, in 70 CE. As seekers of truth, we would be eager to know whether we can understand Daniel's prophecy in the timeline of blessed genealogy, which is our own chronology, using astronomy, knowledge of history, Jewish custom, and the gospel about Jesus. Other than writing about Jehovah himself, to be put in a position where I feel it both necessary and possible to do justice to the subject of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the first time in our own BG history, using accurate historical fact, is at the same time an onerous task and the greatest privilege I can imagine. Before the Jewish temple was leveled, save one wall, and this in 70 CE, Jesus had prophesied regarding this very event, We have scripture references there. And it happened. But some 40 years earlier, after making this prophecy, Jesus made a sacrifice that fulfilled the requirements of Jewish law and removed the necessity of the temple. 3 years after that, Jehovah saw fit to fulfill the promise made to Abraham when Peter received Cornelius, accepting the people of all nations equally into God's covenant. There are more scripture references there. But Israel remains very important, as Paul wrote, for they were the first nation Jehovah chose to be blessed with and entrusted, quote, entrusted with the sacred pronouncements of God, end quote. Because of this, it is wrong to ignore the Jewish wise men when we seek to elucidate a prophecy as good news, as we have perhaps seen with regard to the 40 years of Jehovah's apparent disapproval on the temple services. What sacrifice did Jesus make, and how does it explain such losses then experienced by the Jewish priesthood? That's the end of the study for today. In the Born and Raised article, and that's the end of chapter 1 of the Born and Raised article, which was entitled Astronomical Dating and True Earth. Our proverb for today, little children, is from Proverbs 26 and 2. Just as a bird has cause for fleeing, and just as a swallow for flying, so a malediction itself does not come without real cause. Very, very interesting and important idea that everything happens for a reason in life. There's no such thing as a nebulous concept called luck. It just doesn't exist. Everything has a reason. And that's just that when the cause is complex, people give up trying to understand. That's when they resort to things that they call such as luck, for example, or whatever else they want to choose to call it, which doesn't have a rational basis, but is some kind of superstition and a form of false worship. So we believe in Jehovah, who causes us to become, and everything has a cause. Not just maledictions, good things have a cause too. Everything has a cause. But this scripture talks about the maledictions. In other words, we can't say, something bad happened for no reason. You can't say that, because it does have a cause. It has a real cause when there's a malediction. So we need to ask, was there something we could have done different, etc. We need to try to be as accountable as we can, and to be understanding and reasoning and logical. Proverbs is, that's the end of that for today. Numbers 13. Jehovah now spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourselves. Now they've reached the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh in the previous chapter. So Jehovah spoke to Moses now, saying, send out for yourself men that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the sons of Israel. You will send out one man for each tribe of his fathers, each one a chieftain among them. We're not going to read all of them. So Moses sent them out from the wilderness of Paran at the order of Jehovah. Let's read a few of them. All the men were heads of the sons of Israel, and these are their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shemua the son of Zachar; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea the son of Nun. They're the ones, Caleb and Hoshea, or Joshua, the son of Nun. Joshua and Caleb are the ones we wanted to highlight there. But there are 12 of them, one for each tribe. Let's count them, actually. Reuben, Simeon, Judah. Well, yeah, they didn't send out one from Levi, so... Well, look at this. Yeah, I mean, Ephraim, right? There was one for Ephraim. And there was one for Manasseh. So there were two. There were two from the tribe of, or yeah, the tribe of Joseph, his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, in verse 7 and verse 11 there. And that made up for the fact that there was no person sent out from the tribe of Levi, who was also one of the 12. So we should be able to count 12 here. Reuben, Simeon, that's 2. Judah, 3. Issachar, 4. Ephraim, 5. Benjamin, 6. Zebulun, 7. Manasseh, 8. Dan, 9. Asher, 10. Naphtali, 11. Or Naphtali, 11. And Gad, 12. So, 12 men in all. When Moses was sending them to spy out the land of Canaan, he proceeded to say to them, go up here into the Negev, and you must go up into the mountainous region, and you must see what the land is, the people who are dwelling on it, whether they are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and what the land is in which they are dwelling, whether it is good or bad, and what the cities are in which they are dwelling, whether it is in encampments or in fortifications, and what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there are trees in it or not, and you must show yourselves courageous and take some of the fruitage of the land. Now the days were the days of the first ripe fruits of the grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob to the entering in of Hamath. When they went up into the Negev, they then came to Hebron. Now Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, those born of Anak, were there. Incidentally, Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan of Egypt. When they came to the torrent valley of Eshcol, they then proceeded to cut down from there a shoot with one cluster of grapes, and they went carrying it with a bar on two of the men, and also some of the pomegranates and some of the figs. They called that place the torrent valley of Eshcol on account of the cluster that the sons of Israel cut down from there. Finally, at the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. So they walked and came to Moses and Aaron and all the assembly of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. There is the evidence again that Kadesh is the wilderness of Paran. And they came bringing back word to them and all the assembly and showing them the fruitage of the land. And they went on to report to him and say, we entered into the land to which you sent us out, and it is indeed flowing with milk and honey. And this is its fruitage. Nevertheless, the facts are that the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the fortified cities are very great. And two, those born of Anak we saw there, the Amalekites are dwelling in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are dwelling in the mountainous region, and the Canaanites are dwelling by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb tried to still the people toward Moses and went on to say, let us go up directly, and we are bound to take possession of it, because we can surely prevail over it. But the men who went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, because they are stronger than we are. And they kept on bringing forth to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. The land which we passed through to spy it out is a land that eats up its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in the midst of it are men of extraordinary size. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who are from the Nephilim, so that we became in our own eyes like grasshoppers, in the same way we became in their eyes. So other than Caleb, we see later on that Joshua also gave a favorable report. But other than Joshua and Caleb, these spies did not give favorable reports. 10 of them out of 12 gave negative or bad reports, in which they recommended that the promised land should not be approached, and they shouldn't attempt to take the promised land, is what they advised, which was bad on their part. And Jehovah was not happy, as we'll see later. when we look at the map, if we have time, I think we do, we need to look at a map here. So we can see there's a map of Beersheba being up here on the map, which is in Israel, and the Dead Sea on the right-hand side there. But Beersheba is here. The Dead Sea is right there. And Beersheba is about 75 kilometers north of Kadesh, which is about here. I believe that's what that says, but it's hard to read on this map. All right, so we can look at it also on here, and we can see compared to where they traveled, 5 days travel from Ayin Moses, which is the well of Moses right here, to Ras Alima, which is down here. That was 5 days travel that far, which is about half of the screen height here, roughly, on this map. And so it's a lot further than that. And we go over here. We don't even see Hazeroth on this map, I don't think. Might be here. Might be there. Hudera. Yeah, that's what it looks like, it says. No, I can't really read it. But that's okay. We have another map. So you see this map. Oh, can I reverse this? I'm trying to figure out if I can reverse this map. I need to open this map. Let's try and open it with a preview. See if I can open it. Where is it from? Let's see. It's from... I need to be careful here with what I do. What is it? Let's see. June 28th. Okay, June 28th. Let's see if I can find it. I found it earlier. Here it is, possibly. These are the maps. Here it is. Okay. If we open it in... Not convenient at all. It's not convenient at all what's happening here. Okay. There we see. It's still reversed. So can we reverse the image? Let's see. How do we reverse the image in preview? I know I've done this before. I believe I've done this before. Let's see. How do you reverse the image in preview? Now, how do you do it? Show proof, let's see, size, slideshow, tools. Window. Zoom, not what we want. Let's see. How do you reverse in preview? Okay. I know there's a way to do this. Let me just research. Let's do a little search here. How to invert color in preview. I know there's a way to do it. Adjust color. Oh yeah, it's not an option that's given. So do I have an inverted map? I think I saved it as an inverted copy maybe somewhere. Under tools there should be an invert option. Yeah, the adjust color is not available. That's why I can't do it. Okay, it doesn't matter. I guess it doesn't matter. Right, if you want to see it, you can invert your own screen, your own color. But this is the map. Okay. Can I zoom out? Let's see. This is Ayin Musa right here, right where the cursor is. Ayin Musa, that's the well of Moses. And then Ras Alima is right here where the cursor is. Ras Alima. And so that's almost the full screen height on this map. And we go over to the right, and we can see on the right-hand portion of the Sinai Peninsula with the other arm of the Red Sea to the right there. We see, do we have to go further south? Yeah, it's right in here. Right here it is. Hazeroth, right here. Where the cursor is, just below the cursor, Hazeroth. But we'd have to go all the way up, one full screen height, which is, by the way, 5 days' journey that we just looked at, which is one screen height. But as the crow flies, 5 days' journey, about 65 miles, as the crow flies, that is. So one screen height here from Hazeroth. Let's go to the T in desert, all the way up like that, with the T in desert just visible again. On my screen, it's one full screen height, but it'll be edited probably for yours because the format will be slightly different, the video format. Okay, now we're going to go all the way up to just past this R here. Past the R. What do we see? That's saying... Okay, right there. You go across. There's Beersheba. Right. So two full screen heights is about 130 miles to get from Hazeroth, which is at the bottom of our screen, to where Kadesh is. If we look here, let's zoom in. It's near the bottom of our screen right here, Bahrain. So Kadesh Barnea, which is right here, where we see Retamat or Rithma, Abu Retamat right there, below the cursor. Let's see if we can get it. There it is, to the left-hand side of the enlargement, Abu Retamat, Wadi Abu Retamat. Rithma, which is Kadesh. So we have Kadesh and Kadesh Barnea because Bahrain is just above in the middle of our screen, or just higher than our middle of our screen here, is Bahrain, which we can zoom in on right here again. So Bahrain is there. And then we have Abu Retamat at the bottom. So this is Kadesh. So when Kadesh is there, Beersheba is up here. And we've gone pretty well 65 times 2. About 130 miles north of Hazeroth, they had to travel. So that's certainly far more than one day's journey. More like about maybe 8 days' journey or something. To get to Kadesh before they even could spy out the land. Just for reference, that's what the map shows us. Now we want to go to our next Bible chapter for today, which is Acts 22. Paul said in his speech, "Men, brothers and fathers, hear my defense to you now." Well, when they heard he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And he said, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but educated in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, instructed according to the strictness of the ancestral law, being zealous for God, just as all of you are this day. And I persecuted this way to the death, binding and handing over to prisons both men and women, as both the high priest and all the assembly of older men can bear me witness. From them I also procured letters to the brothers in Damascus, and I was on my way to bring also those who were there bound to Jerusalem, who were there. So to bring also those who were there in Damascus bound to Jerusalem to be punished." Paul was on his way to Damascus when he was hit by the bright light, and he talks about that here, but we don't have time to finish that. But that's the rest of this study. But at the end of this, he talks about the events about which we've already read. And then they don't trust Paul. They say, "Take him away," in verse 22. "For he was not fit to live," because he admitted to persecuting the Christians. And wait. Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know why, whether they were all Christians, it's doubtful they were. But admitted to these things that he did, persecuting the Christians, and they didn't like it. And so some other things happened here, which we don't have time to talk about right now. But the military commander tried to whip him, and that's when Paul admitted he was a Roman, and so he didn't get whipped because it was illegal to whip a Roman. And the military commander, the next day he assembled the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish high court, and brought Paul down and stood him among them. We're going to continue later, but that's the end of Acts chapter 22 for today. Read it if you're interested in all the details there. It's quite interesting and refreshing our memory of what Paul did with regard to what happened on the road to Damascus and so on. We're now at the end of our study. I feel better already, honestly, from the antibiotic. I've taken two of them so far. Clindamycin, I'm taking. That's the antibiotic, but I have no more time. I love you very much. No more time for today. But I do feel a lot better. I'm taking still vitamin C also, 2 grams at a time. And other vitamins. I'm taking salt mineral from Utah, which I forgot I had or stopped using it. I love you very much. On my behalf, it's on this day, July 13th, 2023. It's dusty. And the hour, 1626 hours. And Gully saying, bye for now.